Alrighty, Philippians chapter 1, let's read together from verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. What drew me to this passage were a number of things. Given the context, given all that's going on, being away and going away again, what drew me to this passage is this idea of partners, of partnering in the gospel. And I absolutely love verse 7 where it says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. And I don't know if it was COVID, you know, there I am lying on my COVID bed 3 weeks ago, feeling sorry for myself, my wife slaving on me. It's incredible, she didn't get it. Like, we in the same house, same room, I'm coughing and spluttering, I'm feeling very sorry for myself, and she's just charging, just like untouched, unscathed. It must be because she's way more godly than me. But anyway, part of that moment and part of being away and part of going, wow, we're going to serve Advance. We're going to serve the Advance churches. I love Paul's pastoral heart here. And I think it reflects something of what God's done in my heart. You know, I really want to say this. I feel this way about you all. You know, I'm endeared towards our congregation, and rightly so. As a shepherd, I should. And we don't often get moments to express these things because we're, you know, maybe preaching through certain books and we're dealing with certain theological, doctrinal things or application. But I just thought, what a moment for me as your shepherd to stand here today and just say to you, I feel a longing for our congregation. And I think it's because there's so much vision and so much life and so much exciting things on the horizon for us. And we've journeyed for 13 years together as a congregation, and it feels like the best is still to come. And what thrills me the most is that I'm not just pulling this thing on my own. I feel like I have so much confirmation, and I feel like I have so much backing and people around us who are going, let's do this thing, it's time. And a lot of people have been saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. And so I lean into Paul here, and I'm excited about what he's saying. So what do we learn? There are a few things that we learn from this passage. And the first thing we learn about is Christian fellowship. In verse 1, let's look at verse 1 again. We see there's two key figures. There's Paul and Timothy, and they are servants of Christ Jesus. But notice this phrase, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Now, this is an unusual greeting. If you read Paul's other letters, and he wrote a lot, he writes to churches, and his greeting is different to this. Now, that's not just a mistake. That's not just coincidence. This is a specific greeting. You would almost expect the greeting rather to go like this. Saint Paul to the Philippians. Or Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. But that's not what the Holy Spirit inspired here. In this particular text, it's Paul and Timothy to all the saints. To all the saints who are in Philippi. The church consists of all the people of God found at a given space or place. And so in this context, it's all the saints who are in Philippi. Now, we don't know if there were many little churches, house churches, but in Paul's mind, there is one church in this place. And he's writing to all the saints. The church belongs to God, yes, but it belongs to all the saints. This isn't Paul's church. This isn't Timothy's church. I mean, although they are big hitters in God's kingdom, although they are foundational gifts in God's kingdom, it's to all the saints. And I just want to echo this incredible theological conviction here that the church under Christ belongs to the saints, to the people of God. Not the leadership. You know, Jethro, my son, used to make this mistake when he was a young kid, you know, because we're planting churches and wherever he went, he'd be like, yeah, this is my dad's church. And I always had to say, no, it's Jesus' church and it belongs to the people. And we see this here, to all the saints. Now don't get an over-inflated ego here, because this word saint isn't, we're not using it in the Catholic sense, right? We are firmly Protestant here. And so when he speaks of saints, he's really talking about Christians. And so the church is made up of Christians, those who are in Christ, which is why he uses that phrase so often, in Christ. So the first thing we learn about is the nature of the church. The fellowship of the church isn't just leaders and members. You know, like there's some big separation, and we're going to see that shortly. But actually, it belongs to all the saints, all those who are in Christ. The second thing we see here is that we do learn about Christian leadership. So it's not that there wasn't Paul and Timothy. It wasn't that it was just the saints. No, there is Paul and Timothy. But more than that, have a look at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Look at this. With the overseers, which could be translated elders. That's the same word, overseer, elder, presbyteron or presbyteress. With the overseers and deacons. So what we have here is a clearly defined church entity. A church, the people of God, are clearly defined. And so we have Paul and Timothy, which are unique leadership gifts to the church. And there's a relationship between Paul and Timothy. But we see that Paul and Timothy are not kind of overarching over this congregation. Because what we see, it's the saints, and it's together with, this is very intentional. Paul is writing very intentionally here. It is with the elders and with the deacons. And so what constitutes the church? Well, it's elders. There must be elders, and there must be deacons, and there must be saints, members. And those are the three foundational legs of any church. Now, what's a blessing on top of that, but not necessarily essential, but I think that it's very helpful in terms of accountability and growth, is that we have those Pauls and Timothys that do relate into our church, and that's where Advance would function. Advance would function like a partnering gift ministry to us. So our church is not dependent upon Advance. We're an autonomous, independent church. We've got elders, we've got deacons, and we've got members, the saints. That constitutes a church. But we also have friends in ministry. We have partners in ministry beyond our own little group. And that's why Advance is so helpful, because we are church to church, planting churches, but also strengthening other churches. Notice also that this leadership of elders and deacons with the saints, it's not a burden on the church. Paul is not that the saints are under the elders and deacons, although there is a sense in which we submit our lives freely, but also they're not over. And so this isn't a kind of business structure. The church isn't a business. Although there is a business element in the back areas of the church financially, but fundamentally the church is a family, which is why he uses the word with, not under or over, but with. What's the point? The point is this, is that the church has leadership, but the leadership is relational. It's relational and intentional. We're not all leaders, and we're not all gifted the same. We're gifted differently, and we all serve in different areas with different functions, and we are relationally connected as a family. In other words, we serve with one another, alongside one another. And that's what we see here. Paul is saying it very clearly that this is happening relationally and it's happening intentionally. Notice also, final thing to notice, is he doesn't begin like this, Saint Paul and Saint Timothy to the slaves at Philippi. He doesn't put himself on a pedestal. Sadly, when we look at some of the church today, we see horrible hierarchy. We see titles, weird and wonderful titles. All you need to do is drive up Governor Mbeki Street or into Africa or into some places and spaces, and we just see how the church has been ravaged by ungodly leadership practices. Leadership is important. We must be careful. I think that in the culture today, there's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, not only against men, which is an interesting thing. There is a place for godly manhood, but a knee-jerk reaction against leadership. Leadership is important. Leadership is critical to any organization, even the church. But we also must be aware of ungodly leadership, of hierarchical leadership. Paul is, he doesn't need a title. There's no fancy titles here. In fact, he qualifies. He says, Paul and Timothy, what are they? Servants, he says. So if you're ever questioning, he's an apostle. Yes, he is an apostle, but he sees himself as a servant. Thirdly, and lastly, we learn about gospel partnership. Did you notice that when Paul's praying for the church, there's two things he says. I am praying for you always, and every time I pray for you, I'm praying with joy and thanksgiving. It's like he's overwhelmed. And then in verse 7, like we showed earlier, it says, it's right for me to do this. It's right for me to feel this way. He doesn't put himself on a pedestal. There's no titles, and there's no huge gap between Paul and the people. No, Paul knows these people. Paul's among the people. Paul's a shepherd with the people. And look again at verse 3 and 4. It says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, notice all the alls, making my prayer with joy. With joy. And we must ask, what was it? What was it about the Philippians that caused Paul to be so joyful when he prayed for them? And the answer is verses 5 and 6. Look at verse 5. The answer is, yeah, he says, because, here's the reason, because of your partnership in the gospel. In the gospel. I love it. Paul's not saying because you've partnered in my apostolic ministry. It's not Paul International Ministries that you've partnered with, or Greg Heasley, prophetic, whatever. I don't know. It's just sad. Anyway, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Paul is excited, he's thankful, he's joyful, he's literally injected with joy because of the saints who are partnering. And what was the evidence of their partnering? Two things in particular were the evidences. The first one was they were willing to share their lives. They were willing to share their lives. Again at verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. There it is here. For you are all partakers with me. Partakers. They are sharing their lives. They're sharing their stories. They're sharing their struggles. They're sharing their journeys. They're sharing their victories. They're sharing their pain and their losses. That's what a church is all about. We don't just share the good stories. We also share in the painful stories, in the difficult journeys that we get to walk with people. We share in life. We are partakers. We are a community. And we don't always get it right. We don't always get it right. We often actually get it wrong. But we endeavor to do it more. We endeavor to model our lives and our church life off this. We want to be partakers. Now notice this. He says, you are partakers with me, not only of grace, but look what else. Both of my imprisonment. Some of them actually went to jail with Paul. That's how much they were willing to share in his ministry. They were willing to preach the same gospel as Paul, and that same gospel would get them back into prison. And he says, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. They were so willing to share their lives, even at the cost of persecution. Even at the cost of persecution. And you know what's interesting about this idea of partnership? In the first century, in the ancient world, this idea of partnership actually was synonymous with the word fellowship. So fellowship and partnership were almost one and the same in their understanding. So for example, let's just say if John and Harry bought a boat together and they started a fishing business, in that ancient world, it would have been said that they have entered into fellowship. They have entered into a partnership. And that's what Christian fellowship is. It's a sharing of our lives. It's a partnering together of brothers and sisters in Christ. We are partnering. We literally are going to roll up our sleeves for one another, and we're going to get involved in each other's lives. And we can't do it with everyone, but we need to do it with some. And we need to get involved, and we need to partner by sharing our lives. The second evidence of their partnership was verse 5, that they were willing to share their resources. Paul is so thrilled at this church. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, before you run ahead and go to money, which is actually what he's actually talking about here contextually, and as you'll see, I'm going to come up with Philippians 4, but I don't want to just talk to money. I want you to know that some of our biggest and strongest resources are our people. And our giftedness. We as a church are incredibly spoiled. Our music team, our preaching team. I've been away for, I had COVID, I couldn't preach. I had to lump it on Emil at the last minute. Kyle's preached. Neville's preached. We got some preachers coming up in the next 2 weeks. We got a richness in our congregation. We got businessmen and women. We got gifted and talented people leading children's ministry. Back there. We've got people in hospitality. We are so blessed as a church. And I want to encourage you. Thank you. Thank you for partnering with your life, with your gifts, and with your talents. Part of that is even me having to go now. And to go and serve two other churches, two other advanced churches that are saying, you're going to be in England? What? You're going to be in England? Can you please come and preach for us? And I'm going, yes, thank you, God, I get to do this. And we get to, as a church, send us as a team to go and participate. But back to the text, actually what Paul was saying is thank you for partnering financially. Look at this in Philippians 4. He says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, this is when he was starting his ministry, starting to preach. When I left Macedonia, look at this, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Look at this, not that I seek the gift. It's not that I'm after the money, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I love Paul's perspective. There's no room here for manipulation. I'm seeking your discipleship. I'm seeking fruitfulness in your life. I'm seeking Christ-likeness. And part of that is your partnering with your finance. But I don't want to harp on that. I want to show us, and then I'm done. What was this rooted in? What was this joyful partnership rooted in? And I want to say it was rooted in verse 6. It was rooted in their willingness to share their lives, their willingness to partner with their resources, their gifts and their times and their talent, is rooted in God's faithfulness. Verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Notice he doesn't sit there scratching his head going, I wonder if this is true. Or it might be. No, he says, and I am sure of this. There's an assurance that comes in Paul, and it's not because of them. He's not saying, I'm confident, I'm secure in my position because of how much you've given or how much faithfulness you've shown. No, his confidence is in God. The God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Church, this is what fuels our partnership, is God's faithfulness through the ages. As we sang earlier, He is the Ancient of Days. He is the faithful God throughout all generations and ages. We are part of an unfolding story, an ancient story. We've been woven into God's ancient story. We are the people of Abraham. We are Abraham's sons. We are the new covenant people of God. We're going to take communion shortly. And the work that God began, He will finish. He will finish. And so maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I can share my life. I don't know if I can partner. I don't know if I have the resources. It's okay, because God does. God starts the work. God sustains the work. And God finishes the work. Thank God He's not like us. He doesn't lose the desire. He doesn't run out of energy. He doesn't deplete His resources. He is an unending fountain of resource and joy. And if we put our hope in Him, it will fuel our partnership as saints together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the season that You have us in as a church. It's an exciting season. It's a season where we are seeking the fruit. We are seeking growth. We are seeking Your hand of blessing. We are seeking raising up of leaders. We're gonna need more and more people to step up, to serve, to lead. And all of this for Your glory, Lord. We are so thankful for our community, for our church, and the opportunities that You've brought across our path. Lord, we pray for Your protection. We pray for Your guidance. We pray for Your provision. It seems daunting. We are in very difficult economic times. And yet it's this time at which You are calling us to expand and to grow. But Lord, I thank You most of all for this community. I thank You for all these saints. And I thank You that we get to do it together. I thank You that we get to be on mission together. And then most of all, I thank You that it doesn't depend on us, because You are faithful. And the work that You start, You will finish. And so, Lord, I thank You that we don't have to look in ourselves. We don't have to turn to our own hearts and our own history. We can turn away from ourselves and look to You, the eternal, sovereign God. And we rest our hope fully on You. I am sure of this, says Paul, that He who began a good work will finish it. Lord, won't You accelerate that work in us? We pray by Your Spirit that You would mature us and grow us and strengthen us for this next season of gospel advancement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together a communion song. And so let's prepare our hearts as we sing this communion song, and then we'll take communion all together. So if you don't have that cup yet, there are cups at the front, there are cups up there. Please get a cup, hold on to it. Let's sing this song together, and then I'll come up and lead us through communion. Yeah. Thanks.